Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, good afternoon. This is Reverend Natalie Jean calling you from Kensington, Maryland on this glorious, beautiful, yet cold day. You know, I love everything that God has created, but you know, the one thing I have to say I have to pray on is this winter. And I can't really be, I can't really complain about this winter because New York and Boston had the worst time last year in 2014. So I say hello to everyone and hello to 2015, where all things are possible, all things are beautiful, all things can be manifested if we believe. Today's lesson is called The Secret Note. It's a lesson by Emma Curtis Hopkins, which I will interpret for you. But first, let us begin with a prayer. Let us hold on to the truth about this universe. And this is a universe made of love and only love. If we hold this intention every single day, that is all we're ever going to see in this world, and this world needs it. It needs it in a drastic manner. The world needs love and more love and more love and more love. We can annihilate all things, all seeming things that seem to want to be evil out of this world if we all connected to one another and only focused on the aspect of love. So every single day I want you to wake up and say, I am love. That's it. I am love. And let our light shine towards anyone that comes upon us and let them feel this love and let them from that point show forth the love of God, that who we are and everything that we stand for. You know, God is good, we are good, and this is a new year, so this is a new chance. Every year is a new chance. Every day is a new chance to change things around. Let us put Paris in our prayers. Let us put the universe, but mainly Paris in our prayers, because they're going through something right now that a lot of people go through every single day. But for some reason, they're targeting that country right now, and these senseless killings, they have to stop. They have to stop. There are many religions out there, and God did that on purpose. We are supposed to be compassionate people towards the many ideals that are out there. And I'm not saying for people to say, okay, it's okay to bomb people, kill people, because there's no God, no God on this earth, no God that has created anybody that is going to say, go ahead and kill my children. No one. God has given us free will to decide what is right and what is wrong. And in my own idea, I know that when these people get where they're supposed to, these people that are killing people senselessly, they get where they get to, God will ask them, why have you killed my children? And we will remain dumbfounded because they're going to say, well, they told us if we did this, we're going to get this, we're going to do this, and blah, blah, blah. But murder is never the solution to anything. We have to hold the light in a greater way this year. This year is a year of prosperity, supply, abundance. It is time that all of us see the manifestations of our goals, our destinies, our missions. So every day just say, I am love. Amen. The secret of Luke chapter 6, verses 41 through 49. Today's Bible lesson has a mysterious way of repeating the one note in the Christian dispensation, which the Christian pulpit never sounds. It calls attention to the secret vacuum around which all manifestations revolve. Does not the whirling, stormy sun sweep around a moveless axis? Does not the ocean cyclone lash and surge around a sleeping star? So does all demonstrations of most powerful manhood and womanhood test the wheels of efficient work by dipping the attention toward the silent notes at the center of life. And today's lesson turns the attention, the third word, towards and holds the attention there that is towards the one unpreached note in the Christian dispensation. See Luke chapter 6, verse 41 through 49. That secret note had better not be named at the outset of this column of interpretation, because very few people will read the column if it were, for the reason that it is so unsounded within their own being that when struck, they do not know that it is any part of themselves. So we will let the note come out and ring its million golden bells on the ears of man at some unexpected turn in the paragraph. First, the golden text verse 46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not sing the things which I say. This was illustrated very plainly to one recently walking through the factory of an American corporation in Veracruz, Mexico. The factory is run by men who get down centimeters their knees and cry, "Lord, Lord." But the lifeless, hopeless faces of the little children working in that factory are plainly asking the question of this woman's text. The corporation gives millions of dollars to charitable purposes and educational movements, but no fathers anywhere get pay enough for the factory toil of the kind those children are doing to loose the bonds of those little ones and send them singing hosannas in the highway. And that's a good point. You know, a lot of corporations, they do great charitable work. They give money. But one of the things that I fail to see is people actually giving people on the streets or giving people more money in their pay, in the sense of, you know, if somebody's not paying, is making minimum wage, why not give them more money rather than always donating millions of dollars to charitable organizations? Why not flip the money? Why not give it some to charitable organizations, and why not raise the compensations, the pensions, whatever, of the employees that you have? You know, especially in this day and time, you know, in need in some people's lives to make more money so that they can support their children, their families, support their destinies, their missions. That's why I have seen that, you know, a lot of people, which is sad, sometimes kill their entire family because they're like, I can't support you, and so I don't want you to suffer. I'm going to take you out. Now, that's not the way to do things. But if we engaged the idea of giving more to the people that are working for us and giving to the charitable business as well, I think that would be beneficial. But let it be distinctly understood that the Jesus Christ mill is run on that plan and no other. That is, on the plan of dividing up the gold and silver among the fathers, so wisely that their children are free, it is no use to suppose that a great monument or an iron box of government bond can make a screen to hide the difference between the actual and the make-believe will. If anybody should suppose to run a factory on the actual Jesus Christ plan, all those pious humbugs who run the wheels of trade and wages will laugh them to scorn. It is well enough to grind down your neighbors and set your heels on their little children's necks if you like to pattern your conduct of life on that fashion, but do not call it Christian. Call it Satan, just as it ought to be called, and honestly own up that you believe in Satan, father and patron saint of money-getting, world without end. Amen. Emma, I see here is being very stern. She's like, look, if you're going to do that, if you're going to step on the workers that take care of you and not help them, just own up to the fact that you worship Satan and that you don't worship the real God. You don't worship the real Christ, and that is just profound that she was so stern in that. Secret influence of Jesus of Nazareth. But this is not the secret center of the golden text in the whole Bible section. That center does not refer to conduct of life at all. It deals with something out of sight, out of conduct, yet which influences conduct. It is the cause of the golden text. It is that which makes the golden text possible. It is that which makes the other verses of today's lesson vital. Otherwise, there would be a set of complaints against men for being naughty and praises of men for being good, which complaints and praises do not wash any better than tissue paper in practical life. For do not suppose that the men who underpay the children cares two Russian kopi about our description of his badness on paper or in pulpit, while beauty smiles upon him in clubmen, feel it an honor to drink his wine? Of course not. And so we are only talking and writing in our hate, as the saying runs, while we are moralizing at him. Do Jesus Nazareth the credit that believing he had some wonderful influence with which he was identified. that moved like an army with banner whenever he spoke and kept up his movement for everyone set in action. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. So this is where we really need to learn to be like Jesus, because our words shall not pass away. If we really believe in the things that we are saying, these positive things that we are saying, these are the things that are going to manifest out. It's our belief system in the words that allow things to pulsate, that allow things to manifest itself out. One of the things, if you look at our world, we have manifested molesters, we have manifested murderers, we have manifested terrorists, we have manifested these things in our universe because we deem them to be real. We deem them to be true. But take a moment. Let us say if we decided not to report about these types of people. Let us say that we decided that we've had enough and we don't even mention these words anymore. What's the decline of such people in our universe? But it is the truth. As soon as you declare something, as soon as you name something, you give it life. Therefore, it is going to manifest. Therefore, it is going to grow. So why not manifest something that is great, that is good, that is wonderful, that is beautiful, like love? Why not say there's only love in the universe, and this is all that I know every single day? I am that love, and all I see is love every single day from every direction. I know nothing else. If you keep saying that every day, things will dissipate out of your life. You won't know the evils, the seeming evils of the world. He knew of a presence in this universe that operates on the most hidden springs of men and of angels. It operates through anybody who's consciously acquainted with it to as many as he deals with. This Jesus determined that he would be so perfectly acquainted with that as many as touched him, whether by naming him or believing on his divinity, would feel an indescribable pull of their heartstrings afresh. To do this, he found he must make himself as invisible to the flesh as the influence itself, and he must call men's attention to it by a violent exit out of their sight, as well by preaching moral ethics. Wheresoever in glory gliding shine the stars on nicest time, there the wondrous magnet hiding draws around it life divine. Whoever feels the pull of divine strongly enough to live by it, as certain of the protection of it, instruction by it as he lives, Paul was much interested in this question. He said to the Romans that Israel would work and give and strive to be righteous, but would never get righteous because there is no such thing as finding out causes and effects by watching them. We must take the one perfect thing for granted and let it steer our ship of life its own way. Whosoever doeth this shall not be ashamed. Sympathy not always to be desired. This is what Jesus was setting in motion by this sermon, which historians say he preached on the horns of Hattin, wherein he was 31 years of age. The more we feel of the influence, the keener our sense of his depth of meaning. It is pitiful to us to see Sunday school men and women trying to tell over and over, generation after generation, that good, kind actions are most esteemed than riches, for it is no such thing. It is pitiful to hear them telling that our civilization is Christian victory, when it is all the product of grit, warfare, determined indifference to the rights of others, and hard work on the part of somebody or other, every item of it. That which we feel strongly, we re-sympathizing with it and increasing. We make it alive as temperance. Women increase the drinking of alcohol. And as Christian scientists increase poverty, temperance preachers by telling how great and powerful widespread rum is, and Christian scientists by telling that everything is nothing, nothing at all. One gets mixed into sympathy with galloping rum, and the other gets mixed into sympathy with galloping nothing. The very first spring of Satan was sympathy with Eve. He felt so sorry for her hindrance. If you have neuralgia, and I feel sorry for you, feeling so tenderly for you, then I know exactly how you feel. I shall be the very one whose help you do not want. My sympathy doubles the pain, and nothing I can possibly do with my hands or think with my thoughts will help you. I shall grovel down there in the slums of pain with you. This is Satan who shall fall on his belly forever. So the aspect here, endless sonians, and that sympathize with people, because when you sympathize, that means you take in their energy and you agree with what they're going through. Because the thing, when you sympathize with somebody, you basically say, yes, I remember when I was in that situation. Or you'll say, I feel your pain. And when you do that, you begin to start feeling the pain of the person that's going through a certain thing. It is okay to come upon somebody and tell them of your story. But you must also tell them how you got out of that situation, how you are better for it, how the experiences are not bad experiences, but experiences that have gotten you closer to God. This is what you need to get to. What must I do to help you? I must have compassion on you. What is that? It is giving you something that I am in my freedom from pain. Freedom from pain knows nothing of pain. It is like the mother who nurses her hungry baby. Does she feel hungry? Does she cry with the baby? No, she is greater than that. She is absolutely indifferent to the hunger and the crying so easily that she folds the baby to her smiling bosom and comfort with the opposite of crying. This is compassion. Nobody ever felt it, but was nourished beforehand to annul the troubles he met. Two ways to choose from. The 41st verse declares that man must be nourished at the bosom of freedom before he has freedom to give. God is the great indifference, the smile, the upbearing, nourishing mother. Jesus fed at the breast, and when the multitude cried with hunger, he had compassion on them. That is, he had something to give them unlike their hunger. He was not a crawling sufferer with their suffering. He had freedom to offer because he was free. Here we touch the silent note of the lesson. It is this privilege of living by drops from the original and changeless Mother God in our midst. So if we feed from the words of Jesus Christ, then we should be set free. Because Jesus teaches us how to walk on water, how to raise the dead, how to heal the sick. He teaches us to speak our truth. He teaches us that there is salvation. He teaches us free of mind. But it is up to us to decide whether we're going to take these lessons, understand them, incorporate them into our lives. We cannot blame Jesus for the reasoning behind why our lives are not going to a certain way. We must blame ourselves, our mindsets, our words for why things are not happening. But all of that can be changed in an instant because we have the ability to do so. Here we touch the silent note of the lesson. It is the privilege of living by drops from the original and changeless Mother God in our midst. We have two ways offered us for being today, clothed, fed, instructed. One gives us dust to eat, dust to fight, dust to mix with, dust to complain of, and dust to praise. We deal with the world according to the ways of the world. This is what we are doing when we hire little children's labor, because it is cheaper and build hospitals for their bones broken in our service. It is the dusty way. It is the same as having a fellow feeling for our poverty-stricken brethren and weeping when their heads ache. All dust, said the Lord to Satan, dust shall thou eat. Also, he told him he would always stay in the dust as long as he existed. The way of Jesus Christ is not dust. It is nourishment at the bosom of the original of miracles. It is life and inspiration by the miracles that, for which there is no explanation. There is a law for working with dust for both mind and body, but there is no law for working by this free mother. Paul calls a great smile from whose free ownership of the world the mighty Jesus drew his breath, Sarah. He called the dusty mix of life with hiring out of my neighbors, or as the grab name places me over under Hagar. Jerusalem, which is the smile of God, clothing and feeding and instructing the Jesus Christ man by folding and providing and voicing in ways not believed in by dust is free. She provided freely of her bounty. There is no end. Read Galatians 4th chapter. So how can I nourish you with freedom if I have not drawn from the free mother? No matter whether it is from the naughty conduct I would set you free, or from the hunger, or from the pain or slavery. Note just how Jesus sounds again and again on this note of dropping from the original. For our wisdom, our beauty, our health, our riches. He repeats it over and over from the 41st to the end of the 45th universe. Bring it forth, bring it forth, bring it forth. Not by the very best plans of dust, but by nourishment from the free smile of the wonderful mother we have called God. This is living by the miracle. Nobody shall ever know shame of hunger or neglect or forgetfulness who draws his good from the free mother, and his presence shall be compassion to mankind. The supplying name is now not God, not Lord, not love. The rock that is higher than I. For the name Lord makes everybody who repeats it dictatorial and overbearing forever, supercilious also, and self-lauding. But this name will release others from the ever-flowing fountain of power as Jesus did, verse 47. When Jesus of Nazareth changes the figure from fountain of freedom and trees of plenty, who to the everlasting rock of defense by which the changeless and unfailing mother will show herself to man? The sureness of the mother is to her baby an everlasting rock. She is so different from the cries of her baby that she is as rock to waters. She is so much greater and wiser, so much stronger than her baby smiling, that she is as rock to sunshine and wind. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Lead me to my mother, God. Lead me to the rock under whose sheltering fastness I may be a rock of shelter for a world of victims to the dead man's breast. Who shall lead us to the rock? Not religion. She is the rock and the tool of dust, not science. She is the analyzer of evil and good. She helps only the worthy poor on the dusty street of Chicago. And who are the worthy poor? Who calls them off in the courthouse and at the desk of dust? The Bible lesson says plainly that whosoever helpeth the worthy poor is poorer than the unworthiest ones he turns from his doors. The Jesus Christ man nursed at the bosom of the mighty mother never asked who are worthy. Come, whosoever will, let him come. He says exactly as she said. So, what they're saying is that here no one discriminates. The mother doesn't discriminate, Jesus doesn't discriminate, and God does not discriminate. Why? Because we are his children. Why? Because we are his blood. And God can only see the beauty in us. God can only see the beauty in us, and Jesus can only see the beauty in us. There can only be love, there can only be light, there can only be truth, there can only be those things. Over the raging waters, through the tropic miasmas, go take up your children, you who have breathed on by the infinite one. There is enough of bread, wine, meat, milk, shelter for you and all you can give unto, and thus despair. Moons may wax and wane, but the sheltering Mother God never waxeth nor waneth. She abideth forever the same, world without end. As the white stars of the Southern Cross never change their faces, so Jesus Christ from the cross of the eternal skies is yesterday, today, and forever the compassionate one, whose name men and angels are safe forever. As the steadfast splendor of the four stars of the Southern Cross beams its mystic influences from some far regions which no man knows, so from the unexplainable heights of an unprecedented offer to men, Jesus Christ is that name of God, which is synonymous of bounty, shelter, original inspiration, and swift journeying heavenward. In his name shall the Gentiles trust. So that is Emma Curtis Falcon's view on the secret note. The secret note is hidden within all of us. We have something that is ready to give us some information of how we can change our lives for the better. We all know the answer, but some of us are afraid to receive the answer, because once you get the answer, you're really going to have a wonderful life and you're not going to know how to deal with that. There are a lot of people, even people that win the lottery. Let's take them for example. They win the lottery, they go from having nothing to having millions of dollars. their lives change forever. And some of them can't deal. You know, a lot of people help other people. Then they spend the money. And then 2 days later, the money's gone. And they're wondering where it went. I saw a show on that, in which the millionaires were bankrupt before you knew it. One person, he won like $200 million. And once he won that money, it was nothing but catastrophe. One after the next. I think his granddaughter was abducted, then killed, then somebody else was killed, then some money was stolen. I mean, it was one thing after the other. However, if you are a person that knows exactly what you want, when you have manifested it and it comes into your life, you will only be calm with the situation. You will not question, oh, now it's here, what am I going to do? There will be no anxiety because you have received what you have asked for. And it doesn't have to be money. It could be anything that you're manifesting, a new business, a new car, a new house. It is up to you to see your potential. Know without a doubt that the thing that you want to manifest, you want it right here and now, and that when it comes into your life, you're not going to panic. There is a God that loves you deeply, that wants you to live in his kingdom. Right now, the universe we live in does not have his kingdom. There's too much hate. Too much animosity, there's too much greed, there's too many people wanting power. You know, going on the internet, reading the newspaper, watching TV or the news is very tragic. It's a tragic thing in our universe. This is the 21st century, and we're still dealing with racism. We're still dealing with hate, not only with race, but we're warring. They were warring back in Jesus' time. You would think that after he sacrificed and did all these things, we would be done with this crap. More and more people are taking, I read the story about this man that took his child, 5-year-old child, and lifted her, threw her over a bridge, and this police officer saw it, trying to save her, couldn't save her. Who does this? Now, I'm not for death penalty. I'm not for any of these things, but when somebody, a parent, does that, why not just jump over the bridge yourself? This world needs love. It needs love, 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 love. It needs a huge, huge, huge amount of healing. Huge amount of healing. Because in my view, and the things that I'm seeing and understanding, we have taken several steps back. There's more terrorism. There are more murders. There are more cases of molestation. There are more cases of abuse. What are we doing? We need to hold the intention of a wonderful, loving universe, a loving universe, a loving country, a loving countries. And it doesn't matter what your belief system is, because no matter what, every religious modality, every spiritual modality should be about love. End of story. So hold your intentions high, hold it in love. Namaste. Until next time.